I truly believe when God gave this to me, it came right out of the heart of God. Now, I believe there's times when He mourns for us and He mourns with us. And I believe that His heart really goes out to His children when we have a problem. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I'm all alone. This is more than I can bear. And we don't realize God is right there and He's going through everything we go through and He's given us everything that we need. Now, we've been taught in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, that as children of God, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And we know that. We have that memorized. But you know, sometimes that's really hard to walk by faith when what we're facing looks so big. But there are those times when something happens that it really does feel like that the whole bottom has fallen out. And we just feel like everything that's coming toward us, it's too hard to look at the circumstances. Just feels like we've gotten a kick in the stomach and we don't know whether we're going to recover or not. It leaves us gasping for breath. Now, sometimes it's so bad that it feels as though you're going under for the last time. Now, I think most of you have probably experienced this at least one time, sometime or another. Now, there's times that even though you've tried not to look at the circumstances, you really don't see how the Word's going to be able to work this particular time. You think, Lord, I know Your Word's true, but I don't see how it can work this time. Now, practically every one of us has experienced having the bottom fall out at least once in our lifetime. Now, for some of you, it might have been after you were fighting maybe a physical sickness and you believed you were well and you were using the Word. And all of a sudden, it appeared that you had totally lost ground and you feel like you're sicker than you've ever been. And it's a blow. As many times, it's a blow to your faith. Now, for some, you might have been fighting depression. A lot of people go through depression, and sometimes something happens and it just kind of knocks the props out from under you. And you feel like you're under a black cloud. For students, many times they're struggling with their grades and they think, okay, I think I can bring it up now with this next test. And they find out they fail miserably. And they think, Lord, it's over. I'm never going to pull out of this. Some of you are fighting a financial battle. And you just think, oh, you know, I'm not going to make it. And then three more financial crises strike. And you just feel devastated. Now, for others of us, you know, we've been standing for a family member. And we get so caught up now in the situation because the satanic bondage over them just seems almost impossible. And you feel like you've been standing so long. And then all of a sudden, they do something that looks like the situation is never going to get any better. Now, others of you have been emotionally crushed over a broken relationship. And you just feel like your heart's been broken. And the whole world then suddenly just turns black. Now, I've watched situations like this happen, and I've cried out and I've said, Lord, what is the answer when the situation looks so hopeless that the bottom drops out for people in these different areas? What is the answer? And I was crying out for God. I can't honestly say that I was expecting an answer. But all of a sudden, as I was crying out, because we had the church at that time and we had people that were calling us with serious, serious needs. And I was just crying out. And very clearly in my spirit, I heard God say that I have an example in the Word that is an answer for any time that you're ever going through something, going through a problem, when all hope seems to be gone. He said, I have an answer that works. So I want us to see what Jesus had to say for these dark moments that we sometimes face. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 22, he said, the answer that I gave Jairus is exactly the same answer that I have for anyone who comes to me when all hope is gone. And he said, it will work as well for today as it did when Jairus was crying out to me. Okay, now, in Mark 5, starting with verse 22, one of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus saw Jesus and came and fell at his feet and earnestly asked him, my little daughter is dying. She's at the point of death. I ask you to come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and she will live. So he had that faith that you could hear, if you'll come lay your hands on her, I know she's going to live. Now, he didn't just come up and grab Jesus by the arm and say, oh, Jesus, I need you. No, when he came to Jesus, if you'll notice, the Bible says that he fell at the feet of Jesus. I mean, he's desperate. He fell at his feet, and he was under so much pressure. Now, he knew that time was of utmost importance because his little girl, she was not only at the point of death, but by this time they've told her that she's getting worse every day. Now, I want you to put yourself in Jairus' place, because Jairus had watched his little daughter grow steadily worse. And I'm sure he had seen those mental pictures over and over in his mind as he was running for help, as he saw her losing her strength, losing everything minute by minute. And he was running to the only one that he had any hopes that would be able to help him. And you know he had already gone to all of the officials. He was a big official, and you know that he had gone to anyone, that any friend that he had trying to get help. But then he remembers someone. Everybody had been talking about this man that they called the miracle worker. And he remembered the miracle worker, and he realized that he had the phenomenal ability to heal sick people. And yet, you couldn't call him a doctor. He wasn't a doctor. He was just like Jairus. He was a teacher. He was a teacher of Scripture. Now, among the synagogue people, he was controversial enough that most people would have definitely discouraged Jairus from going to him. And sometimes we get so desperate, we're crying out to God, and we'll say, God, I'll take anything you tell me. Anything you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. So he was going to find the only man that he thought might be able to help. Now, he was taking a very big professional risk, because back then, you know how the officials thought about Jesus. And so he knew that he was probably putting his entire profession on the line. And yet he remembered that none of them had had any hope. None of them had been able to do anything. And so he's putting his reputation on the line, and he's desperate, and he's going to find Jesus. Now, Jairus knew that he was one of the few synagogue officials who was coming out of sincerity. He knew all of his guys that he knew well, and he knew that they were constantly going to try to tempt Jesus and test him and make him look like he was of no avail. But he was going for an entirely different reason. And yet things didn't go exactly as Jairus had planned. It wasn't hard to find Jesus. All you had to do was to look for a crowd. He was always in the middle of a crowd. They were all around him. And they had gathered around him today. They were at the seashore. And they had gathered around him, and they were seeking help. All of them were sick. They needed either health for themselves or one of their loved ones. So there was no time to waste time trying to voice his credentials or try to cause the Lord to know that he was sincere. He wasn't trying to do that. He just fell at his feet, and he said, my little girl now is at the point of death. And he said, if you'll just come and you'll lay hands on her, I'm believing that she can get well. Now, Jairus' plea was just pouring out of him. And we see here in verse 24 that Jesus immediately followed him. And it was the first relief. I can just imagine the relief he must have felt when all of a sudden Jesus said yes, you know, and he started immediately following him. So maybe hope was beginning to become a possibility in him. I can imagine that he's rising up, and now he's been on his face at Jesus' feet, and now he's up and he's walking with him, and he's thinking, okay, the master's going with me. Everything's going to be okay. But one thing that Jairus hadn't counted on, and we find here in verse 24, that so Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and pressed in on him. Now, he had not counted on a big crowd going along with him, but it didn't matter. He just said, okay, it doesn't matter if the whole country goes with us, if I can just get Jesus to my daughter. And so he knew that she was literally hanging on between life and death. And then something very unusual happened. Jesus suddenly stopped. Now, consider the whole crowd's around him, but he suddenly stopped, and he said, who touched me? And even his disciples, they were shocked at a statement like that. And so in verse 25, it said, a certain woman had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had suffered much under many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and she was not any better, but rather she grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind him, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his garment, I shall be healed. And immediately her hemorrhage dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of the affliction. And at once Jesus knew within himself that power had gone out from him. And so he turned around in the crowd, and he starts asking, who touched my garment? Now, to Jairus, this was a strange thing for Jesus to be even concerned about at a pressing time like this. I mean, I'm sure he was thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on? I had him going with me and now he's stopped. And the disciples, they echoed the same thought, because in verse 31, it says, at once Jesus knew within himself that power had gone out. He turned around to the crowd, "Who touched my garment?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing against you, and why do you say, 'Who touched me?'" You know, they're just shocked. They weren't accustomed to his being touchy about his personal being. And they knew that this was his business to let people touch him. People were constantly coming and touching him and wanting healing. And he was always touching people. But by now, the whole procession had stopped. And in verse 32, he looked around and he saw her who had done it. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened in her, came and fell down before him and told him the entire truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of this affliction." You know, at any other time in the life of Jairus, he probably would have been concerned about what this woman had gone through. He heard that she had been going through this for 12 years. But now I'm sure he's just upset over the interruption. He's not thinking about what she's been through. He's not thinking about what she's needing. And I'm going to insert a thought right here. You know, usually when we have a pressing situation and it looks like the bottom has absolutely fallen out, there always comes an interruption. You can expect that. Because when we even read through the Bible, it just seemed like when a person was going toward Jesus, some kind of an interruption would come. Now, we've had enough teaching to know what we're supposed to do when the devil comes against us. But we haven't thought about what we do when it's a good interruption. We're used to the ones where the enemy comes in to try to make us stumble, to fall on our face. But here, this is a good interruption. And this woman had been healed. That was good. But when we look and see that he was under this intense pressure emotionally, he was incapable of being able to worry about anybody else. He was incapable of being even concerned with somebody else's problem. Now, we can be pretty sure that Jairus felt pressure when Jesus stopped, and he just started investigating the problem. He quit even worrying about Jairus and what Jairus had facing him, and he's just interested now with somebody else in the crowd. Now, it was probably ironic to Jairus's mind that a chronic situation that had been going on for 12 years now would demand as much attention as his little daughter, who was in this critical position. And I'm sure he was thinking, you know, this lady has been plagued with this for 12 years. Surely she could wait just a little longer. Maybe if she could just wait at least until Jesus had been able to come and lay hands on my child. I'm sure all those thoughts were going through his mind. Now, you have to feel what he was feeling, because many of us have been there, and we haven't said it out loud, but we said, "Lord, what about me? What about me? Look at what I'm going through. I'm dying and I need help. Please don't get distracted by anything else right now. I just need you. I need your individual attention right now." And yet we do find that Jesus' attention does go now to this other situation. Now, you know, in the past, I used to read this story about this woman with the source of blood, and I got so interested in her story that many times I forgot about Jairus standing over there in the corner being put on hold. But this was an unusual situation. The lady apparently had not meant to interrupt Jesus. I'm sure she was right in the crowd going with them, and she knew that he was following Jairus. So she was just going to come behind him, and without anybody knowing it, she was just going to reach out and touch his garment. Now, it was strange that she perceived that just touching the hem of his garment was going to help. So evidently, there was a knowing inside of her that that's all she had to do. And so she found that it did, in fact, stop that issue of blood that she had gone to doctors for years and years. Now, how could she have known that just by touching the garment, just by touching the edge of his clothing now, was going to heal this problem that had been on her for years? Now, seemingly, the incident had either taken Jairus by surprise, or else he had felt the healing power leave his body, and he was looking around for who had touched him with that kind of faith. And she, of course, She had dared not try to escape the detection of somebody like this. She knew that Jesus knew everything, so she wasn't about to try to hide in the crowd. So she literally threw herself at his feet, and she started confessing everything that she had gone through. Now, Jesus gives her his blessing, and he gives her an approval for her faith. She's fearing that he's going to be angry with her. Instead, he approves of her faith, and he gives her a blessing. And Jairus then is hit again with a crushing blow. Now, as if that hadn't been enough, that he had to stop and wait while Jesus took care of somebody else, all of a sudden now, the officials start coming from his household, and this is when the bottom actually falls out. And we find in verse 35 that while he was still speaking, some came from the house of the synagogue ruler, and he said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Wow. Can you just imagine what that must have felt like? I'm sure it was running through his mind, oh, if he just hadn't stopped to take time with this woman, maybe we could have made it. There's all kinds of things that probably were going through his mind. What had seemed so hopeless now was totally black. "Don't bother the teacher anymore. She's dead. Just come on home and forget it. It's over with." And that's what the servants were telling Jairus. Now, I'm sure that was as though the whole world had absolutely fallen on top of him. Now, every one of us has been there at one time or another in our faith with something that seemed so big to us that our whole world was revolving around it. You may have been there with somebody that you knew and loved, maybe a member of your family, but you've been there in some area of your life when it was so the ground opened up and you just fell in. Now, by sight, the bottom truly had fallen out. Now, I can remember many years ago, I had come through 8 years of emotional torment, and I could hardly stand the waking hours because there was so much torment. Yet I dreaded going to bed at night because I had so many nightmares. And I can remember the indescribable joy that I came to after the Lord just literally just took it off of me just in an instant of time. And he had set me free. And all of a sudden, I had a new lease on life. And for 2 years, I was just in a bubble of peace. Just a little bubble of protection, and nothing could bother me. I mean, I was so excited and so happy. My feet, they weren't even touching the ground. And I couldn't even remember what it felt like before. I couldn't remember being that happy in my entire life. But after that 2 years, some of those old fears, some of those old feelings started coming back. I wasn't afraid. I was terrified. I mean, that terrifying fear just absolutely settled down on top of me. And I was panicked. You know, I thought at that time that surely I was going to end up in a mental institution this time because fear just engulfed me. And while I was standing there just barely hanging on, something else happened, and I really felt like I was at the bottom of the barrel. I felt like the bottom had totally fallen out. I hadn't had deliverance. I didn't even know about deliverance. I'd had no teaching on how to stand. I'd never had no teaching out of the Word like that. I didn't know about spiritual warfare. I didn't know about satanic oppression. And I was just standing there panicking. All I could think about is, I'm going to die. I knew I was going to die. And I remember that I started pulling things out of the cabinet. I was just hysterically trying to see if I could find maybe some of that medicine that the doctor had given me 2 years before. I thought maybe I stuck it back in the cabinet and I could find it. And I was pulling medicine bottles out of the cabinet. They were spilling all over the floor. But I felt desperate. Now, my world at that moment was totally black because all hope was gone. Now, there are those of you, and maybe you've been through something where you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you received a healing or you received an answer for another problem, you were rejoicing and testifying, and then all of a sudden, the enemy came in. I remember hearing a testimony of one girl where she was telling how she had been healed, and then all of a sudden something happened, and she said it was like she couldn't even get a breath. She couldn't even pull a breath in. And that's when the enemy's coming in to try to steal, by making you think it didn't work, when all these symptoms start coming back on your body, or where maybe your miracle, whatever miracle it was, has fallen through. And so in panic, you were just engulfed. Okay, now this synagogue official, he was experiencing all of these feelings. You know he was. All hope now was gone. Now when the servants came and said, don't bother the master anymore. Come on home. She's dead. That was final. That was the end of his rope. That was the bottom of the barrel. That was when the bottom had fallen out. Now, he might have desperately thought, oh, Jesus, if you just hadn't stopped to help this woman, she's had this for 12 years. If you just hadn't stopped and helped her, she would have made it longer. Maybe then, if we hadn't been stopped, maybe would have made it in time. You know, there were all these thoughts that were going through his mind. Everything that he feared, the ultimate of his fears now, had come crashing in on him when he heard that his little girl, she was gone. She had already died. Now, she had been at the point of death, and that had been horrible enough, but now it was over. Now, I want us to see what Jesus' answer to Jairus was after all hope was gone, after it was totally too late. And we find in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Okay, now the answer that Jesus gave to Jairus is the exact same answer that he's given to us today anytime we come to a place where the bottom falls out. If you can hear what I'm saying today, I can promise you it's going to get you through some situations in your lifetime that you're going to think there's no way out, and this will get you through any one of them. Anytime we come to the place where we think, I've hung on by this tiny little thin thread for a long time, and now I can't hang on any longer. It's gone. All hope is gone. Now, Jesus had just overheard the message that the servants had brought, but he ran immediately to Jairus' aid. Now, I can promise you, if he's going to run immediately to Jairus' aid, whatever you go through, Jesus will run immediately to your aid. I don't care what the problem is. I don't care if it's like this where the bottom falls out and there's a death or a death of something that's so important to you, some situation. Jairus has him saying to him, don't give up. Don't give up. And if he'll say it to Jairus, I promise you he'll say the same thing to us. He was saying in verse 36, don't listen to the world. You know, don't go by sight. Don't go by what you've been told. Don't go by the thought that it's too late. Don't go by what the world is saying. It's not over. Don't give in. Don't quit believing. He's not just saying that to Jairus. He's saying that to every single one of us, no matter what it is that we're facing, no matter how bad the problem is. He said, don't be afraid, Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Now, as simple as that little answer may sound, it's the answer to each one of us in our hour of greatest need. God is saying the same exact thing to us. He's saying, I told you in my word, don't be afraid. Now, you may not need this today. I'm not saying you're needing this today, but I can promise you there's going to come a time when you're going to need to remember this story. And what I want us to hear today is that most of the time, it's in the last hour when we lose the victory. You've tried everything, you've done everything you know to do, and suddenly you lose the victory in the last hour. Now, maybe we've been standing for days for whatever it is, whether it be a financial need, whether it be a sickness, whatever it is. Maybe we've stood for weeks, sometimes even months, barely hanging on. But at least we've been standing, and one day something happens, and by sight, it's over. And it looks like there is absolutely no possible way out. And something at that moment is there, and God is wanting us to remember this simple little story. I promise you, it can do more for you than you can ever possibly imagine. Now, he can't take the victory from us. The enemy can't do that. But I tell you what, he doesn't have the power to take the victory from us, but he can come to us to the point that we hand the victory over to him. And that was where Jairus was. The enemy harasses us until we think it's over. There's nothing else that can be done. It's a tragedy and there's no way out. Okay, now I want you to keep in mind that it was after the situation looked hopeless that Jesus said, don't be afraid. He wasn't saying to Jairus when he first came up, oh, don't be afraid, we're going to go and we're going to take care of it. He didn't say it then. He waited until the situation was hopeless. And that's when he said, don't be afraid, don't quit believing, it's not over. Now, Jesus' instructions are so simple. Basically, it was two steps. That's all he gave us. Number one, he was basically saying, deal with that negative, stop the fear. And that's what he told him. He said, Jairus, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Put the fear down. And then number two, he told him to stick to his faith. You know, keep believing. Don't lay down your faith. Don't fear and don't lay down your faith. Hold on to what you believe. He said, I can do it for you, but you're going to have to believe. Only believe. Now, it's been mistakenly said, don't quit until they pull the sheet up over your head. I'm sure you've heard that old expression. But with Jesus, I'm going to say this. You don't even have to quit then. It's never too late with the Lord. See, it was over for Jairus, and yet Jesus was still saying, don't quit believing. Don't quit. Now, since we're looking into handling interruptions, there's a couple of things that we need to take note of before we go on. A lot of times, what looks like an interruption can be the Lord giving us an extra shot of faith. Sometimes we forget that when we're down already, and then, boy, we have that last thing that just almost puts us under. Stop right then and say, Lord, are you trying to give me an extra shot of faith? Do I need to stop and ask you what you're doing? See, we're so preoccupied sometimes with the problem, and God may be giving us an example to go by. He possibly may be pulling us out of our tunnel vision, because we get so tunnel visioned when we're facing a big problem. Now, God may well have been using this interruption for Jairus' benefit. Now, Jairus could have seen some similarities between his situation and that of the woman. He may have been seeing more than we realize while he's watching what Jesus did for her. She too had been having a horribly rough time. And she had suffered much at the hands of doctors. She had spent all of her money, and she's still grown worse. Well, Jairus had done the same thing with his daughter. I guarantee you, he had taken that little child to all the doctors. That in itself would have made both of them feel pretty hopeless. But she too had heard of Jesus, and she too had gone to the Lord, much like Jairus had gone, out of desperation, and she got immediate results from Jesus. Immediately that flow of blood was dried up, and Jairus had watched the entire thing, and I'm sure he was thinking, she cut into my time. You know, Jesus was going with me. But God may well have been giving him a faith example to prepare him for what was going to be coming next. Because he wasn't, after Jesus started taking him to his home, I'm sure he wasn't thinking about, oh no, my child's going to die before we get there. That wasn't in his mind, I'm sure. In life, when you're serving the Lord, there's going to be a lot of interruptions. And some of those interruptions are going to be good and some are going to be bad. But God is letting us know that he can turn even the bad ones to work for us. Every single time. So we need to say, Lord, how can I use this? How can you use this? How can I make this work for my benefit? Because there's nothing that can come against us that God can't turn around and use for our benefit. You know, years ago, Angela was working with a girl in the juvenile detention center, and the girl had been labeled a psychopath. Well, she worked with her for a long time, and finally, the girl was released to go home, and Angela was really disappointed because she had never been able to lead her to the Lord. She had never had her pray the prayer of salvation, and she realized then, she's gone. My chance of ever helping her, it's out of my hands, and I'm going to call the girl Liz. Well, after a week that Liz had been home, Angela was going back for her regular time at the state school, and Liz was there that day. And she had been recalled because of some clerical error. They had found a clerical error in her paperwork, and so they had called her back. Liz hadn't been able to comprehend anything spiritual up to then. I mean, she would come to the meetings, but Angie said she wasn't comprehending anything. But this time now, Liz was just a little bit more responsive. So they went into Liz's room. She was going to go in and pray for her. Back then, you weren't there for just an hour. You could go and stay several hours with the girls if you wanted to. And they had barely gotten into Liz's room when somebody else knocked. And it was one of the girls who came in, and she was desperate. She was crying. She had a family problem going at home. And she said, "I need you to pray for me." And so Angela stopped with Liz and started praying for the girl. And she said before that was over, there was a girl on drugs who came in and said, "I've just got to have help. You've got to pray for me." So she stopped again with Liz and she started praying for the girl. There was even one, she said, even one came in and wanted to accept Jesus. And she stopped and prayed with her to accept Jesus. Now, Angela had to admit that every interruption was good, but she said it didn't look like it at the time. She thought, "Oh no, I'm going to lose Liz again." And so she was still frustrated because she hadn't been able to, you know, get to Liz. They went from 6 until 9 o'clock. Angela said there was a steady stream. She said she never could have believed the steady stream that came needing help. And then finally at 9 o'clock, she said the room cleared. And she said, Liz told her, she said, "For the first time, I want Jesus to be my Lord." She just spoke it out. And Angie said, "What on earth changed your mind? You know, what changed your mind?" And she said, "I was watching you pray for all these different girls, and I was seeing the change, and it made me know that what you had to say and what happened to them was real." Okay, there had been 3 hours of interruptions, but she said they were tremendous faith builders that brought the good results. And so that was what had convinced Liz that she needed Jesus, what had convinced her that he was real. Listen, if we will handle our interruptions, we need to handle them one of two ways. I want you to think what would have happened to Jairus if he had handled his interruption by saying, "I'm angry, I was here first, she took my place, and forget it." He could have handled it that way. Or if he had fallen into rejection, gotten into self-pity, and decided, "I'm just going to go on home. The Lord doesn't really care about me. He's taking care of everything else." See, many people allow their interruptions to just cause them to walk away in defeat. I can't not even begin to tell you how many people we've worked through the years. And when they would have an interruption of any kind, I mean, they threw in the towel. It was over with. But there was another way that Jairus could have taken it. He could have taken it with just fear. It's over. Everything's gone, you know. And he would not have been able to have witnessed the healing of the lady that gave him strength. Now, if we're so preoccupied and wrapped up in our own fears and rejections and anger, we're going to miss that shot of faith that God's trying to give us. Or what if Jairus had just lost hold of his own miracle and thought, you know, "Oh, well, I guess that lady must have had more faith than I have." Sometimes we look at it that way. And we think, "Well, they've got a lot more faith than I have. I'm not going to get healed. I'm not going to get what I'm asking for because I don't have that kind of faith." Honestly, I've known people, when they see somebody else's miracle, it causes them to let go of their own. Now, this is the way to handle a situation when somebody else's need has been met. And it's 5 simple things. But number one, first of all, God says, "I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. Put on hold what you're waiting for and just trust me. But know that God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten what you need. And he is not going to allow you to be disappointed if you'll trust him." The second thing, we have to deal with every negative emotion. Because I promise you, the fears and sometimes anger, sometimes rejection, sometimes panic, sometimes just jealousy. "Well, God loves them more than he loves me." Those are things that have to be handled. They have to be put under our feet. Third, don't take your attention off of Jesus. Don't let yourself be diverted. Number four, see if you can learn anything from their example. See if you can learn anything from their faith. You wonder if Jairus learned something from that lady's faith who had touched the hem of his garment. It may have encouraged him at the time of thinking, "She just touched his garment," and faith was built. And then number five, the most important thing is to run and get right in to Jesus' presence. So many times what people do is they're needing something, but they pull back from the Lord, or they see somebody else exercising faith and getting their needs met, and they pull back. You know, they just say, well, I don't have that kind of faith. I'm going to tell you what, the most important thing we do is run and get right into the presence of Jesus. Absolutely right into his presence. And verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. You need to take that one scripture in your Bible and you need to circle it, mark out in the margin by it, and circle it again. You know, that is probably one of the most important scriptures you're going to find in your Bible. He says, do not be afraid, only believe. Absolutely, getting as close to the Lord as you can possibly get is the most important answer I can give you when you're facing one of the biggest problems you've ever faced. Get as close to him as you can get and grab hold of him, and no matter how discouraged you become, no matter how bad it looks, determine, I'm not going to turn loose. I'm not going to pull away from him. The closer you get to Jesus, you're going to find out, the quicker your answers are going to come. Now, these unexpected encounters, sometimes we call them interruptions. They can often be God giving us that little extra shot of faith that we have to have. Now, Jairus was there in the flesh with the synagogue official. Jesus was giving him the physical encouragement he needed because Jesus was right there. He was right there telling him, don't be afraid, only believe. And we think, well, if I only just had Jesus standing right here with me in the flesh, I could make it. I want to read you something out of Hebrews 2, verse 18 that comes out of the Amplified. This scripture, I promise you, it can give you so much comfort, and so many people use it because of what's being said here. It says, because Jesus himself, in his humanity, has suffered by being tempted, tested, and tried. Okay, Jesus has gone through all this. He's been through the temptation, the testing, the trials. In every way, such as we, but without sin, then he is able immediately. Okay, he's not just able to run to us, but he's able to run immediately to the cry of, to assist, to relieve those who are being tempted, tested, and tried, who therefore are being exposed to suffering. Okay, now that's telling us that in the present tense. Right now, when we're going through any kind of temptation, any kind of testing or trial, and when it looks as though all hope is gone, it says that he will, not tomorrow or the next day or someday in the future, but it says immediately he will run to the cry. And that simply means that when we cry out to him, when we call out to him, he immediately runs. You know, some of these things, we need to circle them in our Bible. And some of these words are so important to let us know. It doesn't just say he'll come. It says he will immediately run to our side to aid us because he's waiting there to assist us. He's waiting to relieve us. He's waiting there to encourage us. He's waiting there to build us up and tell us exactly what to do to win the battle in that particular situation. And what we decide to do at that moment, we can be depressed and run off and hide. We can be depressed and run and do something else to try to encourage ourselves. Or we can do what he tells us to do, which is so simple. See, in the darkest hour of any situation, what we decide to do at that point is going to determine the outcome. I remember it was such a shock to me when I realized the outcome in my life was going to come not necessarily because of what God was going to do, what I chose to do. And when the Lord started showing me that, he was waiting on me. It wasn't that God couldn't do it, but what I chose to do at that moment was going to determine the outcome that was going to come. And I remember that was such a shock to me. And I thought, it's what I do, Lord. Now, history will be made at that moment one way or another by whatever choice it is that we make. Now, this may sound like an insignificant illustration, but it was really important to us. It's just the principle now that I'm wanting you to hear out of this. But this principle will work no matter what the situation. I don't care what you're going through. We had 5 young heifers in one field because they were too young to be bred. And a lot of times, if they get bred too soon, it'll kill the calf and the heifer. And so I went out to feed. I was going to feed the older cows and the bull first. And I realized the bull was not in the pasture. So I searched all the pasture, And all of a sudden, my heart just sank because I thought, oh, if he's not here, there's no other place for him to be. He's with those heifers. So I went, started going toward their field, and oh, I dreaded telling Jack because he had just put so much work into them. Well, as I started up over the hill, I was feeling so discouraged. I was feeling so low. Now, and I had already accepted the defeat. It was over. I had already accepted it. And suddenly a voice just came up out of my spirit. And that was one of those times that I knew was supernatural. It just rose up out of my spirit. Don't quit believing. Don't doubt. Don't lay down the victory. And I remember stopping, realizing I wasn't thinking that. That was coming up out of my spirit. Now, Jesus was running to my aid just exactly like it tells us there in Hebrews. And he was, that did strengthen my faith. And I realized at that point, and that's where we all are when that happens, God's willing to strengthen our faith, but then we have a choice to make. And the whole outcome is going to depend on what decision we make, what choice we make. And I easily could have said it's too late because there was no other place for that bull to be except in with those heifers. And so I knew I had the choice of saying it's too late, or I could believe that knowing, that voice that had come up out of my spirit. And so I made a decision, and I began to say out loud, "Devil, you're not going to win. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus, and you are not going to steal from us. Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to choose not to be disappointed." I love that scripture. We choose to trust God and we'll not be disappointed. We'll get the results. Now, all this was happening as I topped the hill. All this had been going through my mind. I was been saying this. And as I topped the hill, there were those five heifers and they were alone. I honestly, and I felt like the Lord even said this to me, that I could not possibly have known, but the answer, what I had there would not have been the same if I had not made the right decision. And I think so many times when we're faced with situations, we have no idea that we're the one deciding the outcome, our attitude and the choices we make. Now, as insignificant as this may sound, I believe that history was made at the very moment that I made the decision to believe God when he says, "Don't quit believing, choose to trust me. You know, trust my word." And we can choose life or death, or we can choose blessing or cursing. That's definitely said to us directly in the word of God, but it's also given to us over and over in examples through the word, that he's given us the choice, life or death, blessing or cursing. And it's God's power that's going to bring the miracle. We don't have the power to bring the miracle, but it's going to be our faith that decides whether the miracle is going to be able to work. And so often we think, you know, I just can't work up enough faith. Listen, it's not something we have to work up. The one thing that helped me more than anything else in the world is when I came to the place of realizing faith is a choice. It's not working it up, you know, "Oh God, I've got to get my faith worked up." No, faith is just simply a choice. It's just a decision. Lord, I choose to trust you. You don't have to feel anything. That set me free when I realized I don't have to feel faith for faith to be there. I just have to make the choice. Faith is a choice. Lord, I just choose to trust you. And there's times when, and I know you can say the same thing, where you feel absolutely nothing. But I know that if I take God's word and act on it, choose to do what he tells me to do, choose to believe it, and refuse to give up, it's going to work. There may be some things God tells me to do. There may be a little wait time, but it's going to work. And we can remove a mountain of problems in the spiritual realm by our obedience, when we truly choose to believe God, and when we put down the fear. We have to get rid of the fear. That's the first thing God says. Don't be afraid, only believe. In every situation, God is saying, don't go by sight, do not be afraid, just keep believing. No matter what we're facing, that's exactly what he tells us to do every single time. You can pray and ask God every time, what do I do in this particular situation, Lord? What do I do here? What do I do there? And every single time God's giving the same answer. He's saying, don't be afraid. Get rid of all the negative emotions and do not quit believing. Just believe me. Just believe my word. Father, I thank you that you've made it so simple for us. You've made it so simple for us. We can't even begin to thank you enough. Lord, I thank you that you love us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're there. And Father, you give us these examples in your word for us to know what you're telling us to do, what's going to work. And Father, I thank you that as simple as this is, you're telling us don't go the negative route. Don't run from you. Don't pull away from you. Just believe. Just simply believe. So, Father, I thank you that I'm believing that each one of us is going to take this in, and maybe we don't need it when things are going well. We think we don't need it then. But, Father, all of us are going to face something at one time or another. And I pray, Father, that we'll remember this and we'll just choose to believe and we'll choose to put down the fear. And you will always be there. You will never leave us and you'll never fail to answer us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.